the scriptures to Colossians chapter 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. There we'll end our reading. Pastor Igo from Cedar asked me to fill his pulpit. And as he frequently does when he asks me to do it, he asked me to preach on specific topics. Some of them are easy, some of them are hard. I had to preach a series of 3 sermons on motherhood. I found that difficult. I could cover it in one. I like to comply when I'm asked. And he said, I've been reading this book about empathetic listening, and I think it would be great if you'd preach on it. I'd never read a book about empathetic listening. Had never thought of empathetic listening. I thought, well, Bible's got to talk about it, so I started doing some research. And I got very excited because actually the scriptures have a lot to say about it. And so the sermon tonight is not particularly on this text. We'll be coming back to this text to talk about what it has to say about how we listen to one another. But our topic is listening and how to do it compassionately. You know, we do a lot of different kinds of listening. There's distracted listening. Honey, will you take out the trash? Uh-huh, yeah. You know, the kid's head came off. Would you glue it on? Uh-huh. What about, and we're not listening. You know, I'm trying to watch the game. And she should know the game's more important than whatever she has to say. And, well, no, that's not right. But we do it. We get distracted. Moms do it all the time with their kids. You know, I'll see the little kid there tugging, mom, 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 mom. And she has been trained. She can ignore that completely and go on doing whatever it is she's doing until she thinks the priority of attending to this one has finally arrived, which is never as soon as the little one thinks it should be. But moms, you're right to say there's priority, and children don't always get to make themselves your priority right at that moment, and don't feel guilty about it or ashamed. They're not always the most important thing going on in your life. Listening. Why is it so important to Christians? Matthew tells us, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, there was with him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I'll make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Arise and have no fear. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Did you pick up what the voice from the cloud, what the Father said? Here they are, the witnesses to the transfiguration. He says, This is my beloved Son. Okay. What are we supposed to do with that? Listen to him. When you stop to think about it, listening is a very vital part of the Christian faith. In Ephesians 4, it says, When he ascended, that is Christ, he led hosts of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And what are these gifts he gave in the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherd teachers? They are people who are going to speak on God's behalf to his people. And God's people are supposed to listen. Listening is a very important part of the faith. We practice it in our worship service. We talk about there being a dialogue between God and the worshiper. So we read a portion of Scripture. You might respond with a song. We would read a portion of Scripture. You might respond with a confession of sin or a faith of one kind or another. And there's a dialogue back and forth. The idea that we are involved in this with God is an important way we structure our worship service. And so now in this portion of the service, the largest single portion, we have the Scriptures read and then explained to us. And we are listening to what God has to say. I don't think it's a very controversial point to say the Bible makes a big deal about listening and has a lot of things to say about it. But it also has a lot of things to say about compassion. The compassion of God is wonderful. In Psalm 78, we read, in spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. So he made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror. When he killed them, they sought him. They repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all of his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. Despite all of the severe temptations that Israel brought to God, despite their repeated acts of unfaithfulness, God was compassionate. He did not destroy them. In fact, he atoned for their iniquity. Psalm 103 says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. The compassion of God takes into account the limitations we have, our weakness, the struggles we have that we don't master as fully as we should. So in Isaiah 63, we're told, I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord according to all the Lord has granted us, to the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. God's compassion to his people again and again, we see it. Micah speaks of it. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You'll cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Compassion is a beautiful thing. We frequently need it. Therefore, we should cherish compassion and seek to demonstrate it to one another. And so we see once again, listening is a topic the Scriptures address a great deal. Compassion is also a topic that's addressed. But there's a downside. Compassion is costly. It's not just something you decide to do and do easily. As the passage we referred to mentioned that God restrained his anger and chose to be compassionate instead, it is a costly thing to do. In order to show us compassion, it required the Father to sacrifice his Son. It requires us to consider others more important than ourselves. So Philippians 2 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look out not only to his own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind in yourself, which is also yours in Christ Jesus. Compassion will cost you. Children, if you're going to be compassionate to a sibling, that annoying brother, or that bothersome sister, they seem that way at times. They're really pretty nice people. But if you're going to live with somebody, they're going to be annoying at times. And God says, put on a heart of compassion toward them. My sister would have a terrible habit of going around singing songs about everything. So it'd be little lamp, rug on the floor, and she could go on and on and on. I found it quite annoying and got in trouble as I expressed my annoyance in inappropriate ways. I know what it's like, but when God calls us to be compassionate, to rule over our hearts and say, I am going to be pleasant to this person, I'm going to be kind to this person, even though it cost me to do so. It's okay that it's hard to do. Doing the right thing often is hard. And we shouldn't count compassion a bad thing. You're going to seek compassion from God over and over and over in your life. And it's as though he's saying, how about a little return on my investment? If I can be as compassionate towards you as I am, if I can sacrifice my son on your behalf, if I can judge him for your sins, then certainly you can go out of your way to be compassionate toward others in your life. It's a fair request. Is it difficult? Yes, it is difficult. But it's exactly what we're commanded to do. So we return to our text in Colossians chapter 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. We have to put on compassion. Compassion sometimes looks like pity. It's the way it is. You know, your older children don't make fun of your younger children because they don't have the same skill sets you have. You might have 3 or 4 years on them. Well, as a child, that's a huge difference. Look what a 4-year-old can do compared to a newborn. Look what an 8-year-old can do compared to a 4-year-old. You know a lot more. Your coordination is better. You've done things many times that they're just starting to do. And I've seen siblings make fun of their younger brothers or sisters because they weren't quite as good just yet. That's not compassionate. That's taking advantage of them. We have to understand their state and understand. Give them another 4 years. They might even be better than you are at the same age. We put on hearts of compassion. It says hearts of compassion look like this, with kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you forgive. So compassion is a very good thing. We've all received it from the Lord. We're called to give it to one another. Let's tie it together with compassionate listening. Compassionate listening is different than other kinds of listening. It takes time. When the passage says, bearing with one another, sometimes to listen as intently as I need to be listening to you, it's going to cause me difficulty. It's going to cost me more than I wish it would cost. Compassionate listening takes time. It's dedicated time, full attention, no multitasking. We look at the person. We show that they matter and what they're saying is important. It requires genuine care about others. We're not seeking to judge or evaluate the person. We're not seeking to hear. We are seeking to hear and understand. Our response comes later, sometimes not even during that conversation. You know, husbands and wives, when you get into spats, neither one of you is listening compassionately. You're listening to defend. You hear what the other person has to say, and you come back at it with your reasons. No one is listening compassionately. No one's trying to really understand the other person and communicate that they do understand the other person. They are trying to get their way. If we understand that, we can break out of some of those molds and have fewer spats. Life is nicer with fewer spats. It requires genuine care. It requires effort. It's active listening. We want to understand. We want to see the other person's point of view. Now, I might not agree with the other person's point of view, but I want to show them that I care enough about them that even when I think their point of view is wrong, I will listen to it. I will learn from them. I will hear them and treat them like they matter, even when I disagree with them. Cancel culture, of course, doesn't allow that. Cancel culture says, as soon as you hear something you disagree with, stomp on it. I saw a news piece this morning. They were trying to picture it as something great. The Proud Boys, I'm not exactly sure who they are as a group. They're pictured as a white supremacist group, though I'm not sure they actually are. And the rumor came that they were going to come to Grand Rapids. Annabowin Park. Annabowin's an Indian name. There used to be an Indian village there years and years and years ago. So out come all the people who are against the Proud Boys. No Proud Boys showed up. After a couple hours, two people who wanted to know more about the Proud Boys show up. And they come over and say, told the camera people, you can't talk to them. You can't even hear them. Because they're with the Proud Boys. No listening, no hearing. There's no respect. It's wicked. It's not how God asks us to be. Compassionate listening is active listening. It's slow to share a differing point of view. We're not there to pick a fight, to enter into an argument. I should be willing to be an active listener whether I get the chance to respond to you or not. Now, I think it's foolishness on your part. If you want me to listen to you, wouldn't it be reasonable that you listen to me? It seems like relationships are reciprocal. That's the way it should go. So you explain your thing to me. I listen respectfully. I listen attentively. And then the time comes when I get to talk to you. We don't listen, enter into arguments easily. It values the person speaking, even when they're wrong. Remember in 1 Corinthians 8, we have the passage about meat sacrificed to idols. It's a great example of it. So Paul writes to him and says, you know, meat sacrificed to idols hasn't been damaged at all because there are no idols. It's all imaginary. No spiritual forces are at work in that meat. It's just a senseless act that these idol worshippers have gone through. So when Diana of the Ephesians has a great feast and all of her worshippers come and they sacrifice all these sheep to her, all these lambs, there's more than can be used. So all the extra goes on the market at bargain basement prices. So you want some really good lamb, cheap, that's the time to buy it. But some in our congregation used to worship Diana. And they say, if I had anything to do with that at all, I'd be like turning my back on Christ. And I will not turn my back on Christ and will not eat that meat that's been sacrificed to that idol. That is sacrilege as far as I'm concerned. Now, theologically, they were wrong. But their hearts were right. I'm going to be dedicated to Christ no matter what, and I don't care what I got to pay for meat that hasn't been touched by that group, I will pay it. That dedication to Christ is something to be admired. And so he says, don't cause your brother or sister to stumble. If they think eating meat sacrificed to an idol is a bad thing, you listen to them and don't eat it. See, compassionate listening is willing to make sacrifices, even when it's not always necessary to make sacrifices. It's a good thing. It seeks to build unity, companionship, fellowship. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Yeah, listening is good. What's the old saying? God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we speak. Now, I don't know anything in Scripture that makes that point. It is true we have two ears and one mouth, but whether that makes that saying valid or not, I'm not sure. In Mark 4, he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Jesus called them, pay attention to what you hear. People are not by nature good listeners. Parents, how often do you have to repeat yourself to your children? It's not infrequent, is it? We have to put effort into learning to be good listeners. Now, along that line, if it's a big problem, then mom and dad, you've got to change your practice a little bit. You just don't say, Sarah, go set the table. Because Sarah's not going to hear you, and she's not going to do what you ask. You say, Sarah, Billy. And you train them. When you call their name, they stop what they're doing, they come and say, yes. And then you tell them, I would like you to do, but it takes a little longer. You call their name, they respond, and it lowers the tension, it lowers the frustration. You see, from their point of view, when you speak to them and they don't hear you, and then you get upset with them because they didn't hear you, they didn't hear you. And they're getting in trouble and didn't even do anything wrong. We got to break out of those dynamics and bring peace into our homes. And we can do that. It's a very easy thing to do. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It takes humility, gentleness, and patience to bear with one another in love and to be a compassionate listener. You know, on your way home, talk with it about this in the car. Do you think I could be a better listener? And I bet whoever you're talking to will say, at times I think you could be. Then ask, well, what are some frequent times where I'm not as good a listener as I ought to be? And hear from the people you share your life with. Well, in this situation or that situation, I don't think you listen to me very well, and I do find it frustrating at times. And make a point of following through on that, being better at listening. It's an important part of every relationship. So what have we seen? We've seen the imminent value of compassion or empathy. We would not be here without the Lord's compassion toward us. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He loved us. He had every right to judge us, but He loved us instead. We remember the high cost of compassion, and we admit that it often costs more than we care to pay. And yet when I say that out loud, it causes me to feel ashamed of myself. You mean I'm not as intentional toward people as I could be just because it would require more effort than I feel like putting out at the moment? And the answer is, yeah, that happens sometimes. And the effort's not even that great. We've applied the biblical principles of compassion to listening and found that when we practice compassionate listening, we build stronger relationships. And that's what we want. Relationships are the whole purpose of life. When Christ was asked, what's the chief commandment? He said, the chief commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything in the Bible boils down to this: love for God and love for others, or relationship with God, or relationship with others. Life is all about relationships. The greatest blessings we experience are relational blessings. And the greatest hurts we experience are relational hurts. When we learn to listen with greater compassion, we understand others better so we can minister to them better. We know who they are. Some people have had a lot of difficulty in their life. And when that happens, it makes them feel like they have very little value. Why would anybody want to listen to me? I'm not worth the time or effort. And when we go out of our way to listen to them, we're taking steps to make up for the evil that other people have done. Other people may have sent you a message that said, you have no value to me. But I'm sending you a message that says, I think you have great value. And that's a very strong message to send to people who have suffered abuse and loss in various ways throughout the course of their life. Having that sense of very little value or worth causes them to withdraw and not engage in relationship as deeply as they should. We learn that we can communicate our love to other people more clearly simply by listening to them better. It's often not the words we say as much as how well we hear what they have to say. It gives them time to speak. They don't have a 10-second window to get something out and then my attention is going elsewhere. Not everybody is a wordsmith. Not everybody can pull their thoughts together and present it as concisely as we might want. Sometimes the way another person thinks is confusing. They don't think in the same straight line I think in. I'm not saying I always think in a straight line. To me, it's a straight line. To you, it might be rather zigzagged, because your mind might work differently than mine. And when you listen to me long enough, you'll catch my zigs and zags, and we can get on the same page. When we don't listen to each other carefully, we can think we have disagreements when we don't. We're just too quick to think we understand when we haven't listened enough. And we can create a relationship that is safe enough for the other person to hear us, allowing them to minister to us. Compassionate listening is what we're called to do. Jesus was transformed, and the Father in that moment told us to listen to him. He takes time. He listened to people. He talked with people. He had an interesting conversation with the woman at the well. So interesting that she went to all the people who were shunning her and insisted that they come and meet him as well. Here's one who told me everything I did, but he listened to me and responded to me as well. May God give us grace to put these principles to work in our lives and improve our relationships and the ministry we have toward one another because we pay attention to listening. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful that your word covers so much of what life is about. And we want to listen to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to hear his commandments. We want to keep them. We want to understand his point of view and why some things are right and other things are wrong. We want to learn how to be gracious and compassionate the way he was and yet stand up for truth and rebuke the wicked when that's necessary as well. Help us grow in our ability to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.